The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 21, starting from verse 33, found on page 990. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, they replied. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd, because the people held that he was a prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're enjoying this summer morning. Have you tried putting together IKEA furniture? Has anybody tried putting together IKEA furniture? Yes. As most of you know, my wife's Swedish, and she loves IKEA furniture. And we've had a great fun putting them together. But I don't like to follow the little instruction manual which comes with it. I think, oh, that's the picture. I like to have a go at putting the piece together without looking at the instructions. But usually I end up with more pieces left over and thinking, where does that go? And then Larissa says, oh, you've got to follow the manual, you've got to follow the instructions. You can't just look at the picture and build it. Well, IKEA is great for doing cheap and trendy and beautiful furniture. But, you know, in these hard times when people are struggling with jobs and the economy is not doing too well, they've come up with this idea of having a flatback car. So you get this instruction manual with an Allen key, and in the box you would find all that, and you can put this car together. Well, no, that was a joke. Though I think it's a good idea. IKEA hasn't really come up with this yet. So sometimes, you know, we need instructions to put things together, and sometimes instructions can be not very helpful, or instructions which are a bit silly. Like on an American Airlines packet of nuts, it said, "Instructions, open packet, eat nuts." On a child's Superman costume, it says, "Wearing this garment does not enable you to fly." In a microwave oven manual, it says, "Do not use for drying pets." And on a Harry Potter wizard's broom, it says, "This broom does not actually fly." I like this one. It's a rule on a tram in Prague. It says, "Beware. To touch these wires is instant death. Anyone found doing so will be persecuted." So we might think, oh, instructions, and you know, some of them are silly. Some of them are just stating the obvious. And so what about the Ten Commandments? What do we think about the Ten Commandments? You know the story of the Exodus, how God heard the cry of the people and came to their rescue. The Israelites would have seen firsthand experience of how powerful God is. They thought Pharaoh was powerful, but under him it was nothing but misery. But God was more powerful than Pharaoh. He saved them from Pharaoh. He brought them safety from slavery. God divided the Red Sea. He gave them food in the desert. He gave them water from a rock. And when the Amalekites came up to attack him, God protected them. But the Israelites were not the same. They were just a fickle bunch of people. And when they faced with a challenge, they just forgot all those miracles, all those things that God did, and complained against God. And these were the chosen people. These were God's chosen people. And to these people, God said, "You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me and fully keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." And God said to Moses, speak to the people, tell them these commandments. And the people agreed that they will do everything the Lord had said. God gave them the commandments to shape the life of his chosen community, to shape the life of his chosen people. One commentator says this, that the commandments are given by God as an expression of his will for his covenant people. They are not to be seen as simple moral directives apart from the living authority, God himself, who has made himself known. But what's the use of these commandments now? Some people say commandments, you know, they're obsolete, they are no use. Ted Turner, an American media person, declared, "The Ten Commandments are obsolete. We're living with outdated rules. The rules we're living under the Ten Commandments, and I bet nobody here even pays much attention to them because they are too old. When Moses went up on the mountain, there were no nuclear weapons. There was no poverty. Today, the Ten Commandments wouldn't go over. Nobody around likes to be commanded. Commandments are out." So people would say they don't like the Ten Commandments because in the name of freedom, they want to be free. We want to make up our own minds on what we think is right. We want to make our own minds on what we think is wrong. People say, "Oh, I'll decide what is right or wrong. Nobody else has to tell me that." And there's another problem with the commandments. It's like some would say, "Oh, they don't look very exciting at all." Now, during the Victorian times, a missionary met a tribal leader and explained to this tribal leader the Ten Commandments. And the leader said, "Well, I don't get it. You're telling me now that I can't take my neighbor's wife?" "That's right," says the missionary. "What about his ivory and oxen? Can't take that either?" "No. So I can't dance the war dance and ambush him and kill him?" "No, we can't do that." Well, he said, "Well, that's like being old. You know, is being a Christian like being old?" So I must say, you know, the story can be even true now. Ambushings and killings and taking other people's wives or husbands and thieving and lying and disrespecting the parents are even now part of the society we live in. Turn on the news and there are so many stories about how things which have gone wrong in society. We heard this week how two girls planned to kill their grandfather to obtain money. We heard about the broken relationships between an MP, his wife, and his mistress. And last August, we saw in the streets of London how people just came and broke into shops, destroyed shops, robbed people, destroyed lives. So it seems like doing what you like doesn't really work. It seems like doing what you like doesn't give you freedom. It seems doing what you like just rises fear in you. And the lights just went off. Have fear. And fear breaks down everything. Fear destroys trust. Fear makes us worry. Fear says we've got to lock our doors before we go to bed. We've got to lock our doors before we leave the house. Fear says we can't leave a child to play alone. We always got to look out for them. Society thinks that we've got rid of the Ten Commandments to get people free, but they are not. We are not free. We are living in fear. And doing what is right has not made this generation doing what they like has not made this generation a happy one. It has made a generation which worries. Joy Davidman, the wife of C.S. Lewis, says that St. Augustine phrased the Christian law as love God and do what you like. But modern man says just do what you like and then rushes off to ask his psychoanalyst why he no longer seems to like anything. Do what you like does not give us freedom. And we can be sure that God, our Creator, knows what we are like, knows what is best for us, knows what our hearts are like. The law was given because God knows our sinfulness. In the letter to the Romans, Paul says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, 'Do not covet.'" God gave us these commandments because he loves us. He wants to have a relationship with us. As a father gives instructions to his child because he cares for them. My son Victor is now just 8 months old. And I have to keep on telling, no, you can't do that. No, you can't pull my hair. No, you can't do this. So I was wondering, where does he get these things? But I have to tell him, these are for his own good. These are that you can't do. You can't pull people's hair. That is for their good as well. You can't hurt people. So God has given us these instructions so that we can be free. And we obey the law and obey the commandments not out of some legalistic necessity. We obey them because God has loved us first. We obey them because we see how much God has done for us and we want to do more. We want to do more. I remember the days when I'm still in love, but I was more in love, I think. You know, when you first meet somebody, when I met Lovisa, and she was living in Chessington, and I was living in Surbiton, and I just wanted to see her. So I would cycle all the way from Surbiton to Chessington on my bike just to see her. And because I didn't want her, you know, after work to come to Surbiton and then take the bus back to Chessington, I said, oh, I'll do that. I want to do that. I'll just cycle and see you. But the other day we were driving past Chessington. I thought, I can't believe I cycled all that way. Why did I do that? So there we go. And these instructions, you know, God has given us these things, given us the Ten Commandments, because He loves us. And these commandments are different to those instructions. Like putting an IKEA furniture pack together. You know, you want to put an IKEA furniture pack, you've got to do it step by step. You do something wrong, you don't follow the rules, you're in trouble. Your tea table doesn't look like a tea table. Your TV stand doesn't look like a TV stand. You buy a new car and it comes with a manual says, you know, switch on this for this lights to come on, switch on that for the wheels to start moving or whatever it was, but do something wrong and you're in trouble. But with God things are different. The good news is, you know, we God knows that we are messed up people. And that's why God sent us his Son, Jesus, to bring us forgiveness. He died on a cross to take away our sin, to take away our guilt, to take away our fallings, to take away our failings. And he defeated them on the cross so that we can be free. We can be with God forever. So as we obey these commandments, we do them because he loved us first. And as the evangelist J. Jones says, the Ten Commandments are not obsolete, they're absolute. They were not made for any particular period in time. They were made for human nature. And therefore the commandments for all seasons, for all centuries, for all cultures. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you know us best. You know our hearts. You know us better than we know ourselves. And Lord, just as we said sorry a few minutes ago in our confession, we thank you that you are a forgiving God. We thank you that when we get things wrong, it's not doom and gloom. It's not we are destroyed forever. We thank you for the good news that when we come to you, it's all put right together. When we come to you, we are forgiven. We are free. Thank you, Lord, for that good news. And Lord, I pray this morning, if anybody is struggling to hear that, that you speak to them, Lord. Speak to them that they are forgiven. Speak to them that they are free, Lord. Speak to them that they are guilt-free because of your love, because of your blood, because of your Son. Amen, Lord.